The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9 KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is all about your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. Our show is brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Our topic today is Halloween and spooky things. Joining me today, Brenda Geisinger, Chief Operating Officer, Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, and Christy Spicer, Clinical Therapist, Family Services. Good morning, ladies, and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, today our topic is getting ready and getting in the Halloween spirit. That's next week. So we can talk about this week, Halloween and spooky things. And let's frame our topic. Christy, let me ask you, what do you consider spooky things?
Well, I think there's a big variety of things that can be spooky. And what's hard about spooky things, I think, is that what might be spooky to me, you might think is really cool and is not spooky or scary at all. And so I think that that's a real challenge. And I think we see that a lot. You know, parents are telling kids, that's not scary. Don't worry about that. Or even you talk to people and they're like, this was a really good movie. And I'm like, was it scary? And they say, no. And then I watch it and they were wrong, according to me.
Yikes. Well, you know, like a classic example of that would be It, you know. I find always thought clowns were kind of funny and it put clowns with the circus, but not necessarily the case.
No. So clowns, especially for some people, can be really scary. And a couple of reasons that could be true is that it's really hard to know what a clown's real feelings are because you can't really see their face. And so you don't know if they're actually mad, sad, happy, right? Like you're making a guess. So that can be scary for a lot of people. And the other thing is that clowns can be unpredictable, right? So you don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to jump out and try to touch you? Are they going to do something that could be funny? That kind of thing. They're unpredictable. And so I think that can cause them to be spooky or scary for a lot of people.
Brenda, as a mom, and your children growing up, were they afraid of spooky things?
Absolutely. Like Christy mentioned, clowns was always a big one. I myself am terrified of snakes, and I think I have passed that on to my children just from them seeing my reactions all the time. I think everybody has some kind of spooky thing that they're scared of. And it's what you do with that and how you manage that and approach it.
Is it okay to tell a kid before they go to bed, there's something under your bed, you know? Don't you just love to mess with kids sometimes?
Want to be awake all night, you go for it.
Kids are great. Like, remember when Jimmy Kimmel was doing I ate your Halloween candy?
Yes.
And it reacted from the kids? I think that was priceless. It was kind of mean, but I mean, I thought it was mean-spirited. But, Halloween is that time of year. And we focus on, I think the kids focus on candy. But along the way, there's quite a traditional Halloween of getting dressed up and moving out and picking a costume. So let's talk about that, the costumes with kids. What would be like, in your opinion, something that would be a good Halloween costume? What are some of the components that need to be in a good Halloween costume? Keep the kids safe.
Yeah, so I think about, something that they're interested in, I think is going to make it more enjoyable for everybody, right? Something that they want to dress up as. I think when I think about kids going out and being out for Halloween and doing that kind of thing, I think about it fitting them well. I think about them being able to see people being able to see them, too.
I'm going to ask you a question. I've always looked at Halloween and All Hallows Eve is the history here. And there's always been some association with death, either vampires or other things along those lines right there. That's definitely a spooky thing. And how do we address that?
Well,
in the celebration of Halloween.
Yeah, so I think that it's important for adults and kids' lives, because they're the ones that are usually having the harder time understanding that, is trying to explain it to them in a way that makes sense to them, doesn't get maybe too deep into it, but and letting them know that, you know, it's not real. These are made up characters, helping them understand it's kind of like their Paw Patrol character, whatever that might be more enjoyable and fun for them. And so they can try to have like a frame of reference to these ideas of vampires and witches and things like that.
I'm Alex Silver, and joining me today from Family Services is Brenda Geisinger and Christy Spicer. And we're talking about Thanksgiving. Excuse me. I keep rushing the holidays this year. We're talking about Halloween and spooky things. I think Halloween starts the holiday season. But anyhow, did you go out trick-or-treat when you were a kid?
I did.
Did you look forward to it?
I think so. That's a long time ago. Yeah,
oh, come on,
I think
Christy.
So.
I
think it was an enjoyable time. You know, you go out and get to see what your costume is. You get to see what everyone else's costumes are. And, you know, I was definitely still in the age group where you dressed up at school. We had Halloween, you know, dress up day at school. And so got to have that party and, you know, and enjoy that kind of stuff.
Do spooky things vary by age? Little kids more afraid of something than older kids might be afraid of something different.
I think that can be true. I think that, you know, as kids kind of just learn about things, some things are going to be less scary because they're going to have more knowledge about it. And so they're going to be able to understand that maybe it's not real or it's not something to actually be afraid of. I think the other thing is that as kids get older, they get better and better at coping with those fears too. They learn some skills to help with that. And so then it can not seem so bad because they know what to do.
Do you ever have a situation, Brenda, in your family where your kids did not want to go out trick-or-treating?
Out of my three kids, I always had one that they would go, but they always gave up their candy at the end of the night. So I think it varies from child to child, whether they want to participate or not participate, but they can still be involved in the Halloween celebration, whether it's handing out the candy or helping a sibling, you know, get dressed up. So you have to gauge what works for your child.
This is one of the holidays, I think, that it just covers such a spectrum. We can look at young kids and getting dressed up and being cute in the robots and Wonder Woman and all that stuff like that. Then you kind of move it up a little bit in age, and it continues all the way through to adulthood. So can childhood fears carry into adulthood?
Absolutely. I don't think that there's any requirement that something that you were afraid of as a kid that you're not going to be afraid of as an adult. I think that there are lots of adults walking around, especially with like fear of clowns is still something that a lot of adults even experience. And, you know, I've been talking about that, but I think, you know, we get spooked for all sorts of different reasons. And our body reacts and responds with that adrenaline. And even if we know that it's not real, we can still have those same bodily reactions and be set into that, you know, kind of fight or flight response to a situation. And then we still have to use our coping skills then to help ourselves calm down and be like, this isn't real. I am safe. This is going to be okay. So it exists across all ages.
You know, I remember babysitting when I was growing up, my youngest siblings, and I would hope for a thunderstorm. I'd put all the lights out. There was a show on TV called Chilla, and man, I used to want to get scared to death. I used to like that. Whereas my wife told me when she used to babysit, every light in the house was on, you know, and now some people do that. You know, some people like to get scared. Whoa, that got my attention. And other people, I don't see the sense in that. You know, why do you do it? So can you share with me a scary moment?
I recall a time I was coming home, got in the garage, and one of my children had hid in a garbage can that was empty and jumped out, and a lot came out of my mouth.
They got mom, huh? Well, that's truly in the Halloween spirit, but we're going to come back. We're going to go to our break soon, and so we want you to go off and have your Halloween chill. And we'll be back shortly when things aren't going well right here on 1360 94.9 KSCJ.
Let's face it, it happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back. I'm Art Silva, and along with me today is Brenda Geisinger from Family Services, along with clinical therapist Christy Spicer. And we're talking about Halloween and spooky things. So let's go back to what can a parent or adult do that can help a child that has a fear of spooky things at Halloween?
So I think a couple things, you know, because you're going to, most of you who are listening to this now have already been out in the stores. You know that it's there. All sorts of things, just if you take your kids to Walmart right now, can get them spooked. I think an important thing is if you know that that's going to be something that your kids are going to see, tell them about it. You know, there's going to be things that we're going to see when we go to Walmart today. They weren't out before. Sometimes we don't always know. But if you do, right, let them know. Let them know what they might see. Be able to talk with them about what is real and not real. And that can be really tough for young kids to understand the difference between real and not real. But if you can have some of that conversation, that can be helpful to have as well. And we can teach people to recognize, teach our kids to recognize you're scared. It's okay to be scared, but we're okay. We can be scared and be okay at the same time.
So that would be a good cue for an adult, a parent, when they see the kid acting scared or a little withdrawn on something, they should kind of try to make it real for them.
Well, I think that it's important to acknowledge feelings. Anytime that I have a feeling and you can name it for me and acknowledge that I have it and make it be reasonable that it's there, it takes away the extra, like, I don't know what this is, I don't know what to do, anxiety that can come around with that feeling being present. And so we all want to be seen and we want to be heard. Kids are no different. And so whenever we have an opportunity to acknowledge their feelings and to make it be okay that they feel that way, that goes a long way.
Brenda, let me ask you, Halloween in our family, our residential children, how do you approach that?
Halloween, it can be a struggle. There are a lot of things that may have happened in their past and they get really scared and it's amplified. And so it's teaching them new understanding of Halloween. And so our kids will dress up, but we don't do the masks. We might do face painting instead and try to make some fun games, you know, carving the pumpkins, painting the pumpkins, and just making it more of a pleasurable experience, and also doing it when it's still light outside. So when the nighttime comes, it's not all of a sudden these spooky things coming out. We've already done that in the daylight, and we've been able to talk about it and process.
Interesting, because Halloween comes every year. Remember the year they canceled Halloween in Sioux City? We had the ice storm, I think, and then, boy, was that, you know, it thought it'd be easy to cancel Halloween. It wasn't that easy. You know, a lot of people felt bad, and I think they put something back together a few days later. I think on Sunday we went out or something. But kids are in the expectation. That's the candy holiday. Halloween, you go out with your bags and everything. So one of the things that parents have done in the past is to check the food. Do we talk about any type of nutrition when kids go out or when we give out Halloween treats? Christy, any comments on that?
I'll jump in.
Okay.
I have a grandson, and he does not eat sugar. It's just not in his diet. So Halloween is kind of tough because he can go trick-or-treating, but candy does not register with him. And so it's being aware that some children may have special needs or special diets, and what do you do with those and having those conversations. And so my daughter takes that candy and they donate it to other organizations, but then he gets healthy snacks to kind of compensate for that. But it's having that discussion and understanding, we're going to go do this, it still can be fun, but being aware that some kids may not be able to partake in what you're handing out.
Let me ask you guys this. If you're experienced trick-or-treaters, do you ever come back and do the swap, the candy swap with either your brother, your sister, or your friends? I don't like these. I'll take these. You're going to have these. Ever do that? That was a fun little, you know, work the deal. Oh, I kind of like those Raisinets. You can, I'll trade you my Milk Duds for your Raisinets. You guys ever do that? You
know? No.
Oh.
I will be honest. Myself and my siblings, like, we'd come back with the big thing of candy. We'd look through it, right? None of us really cared that much about the candy. And so eventually my mom would put it in the freezer, and like maybe next Halloween there would still be some in the freezer. So we were maybe the exception in my family. So.
I think it also raises having some guidelines around the candy as parents. You know, you can have X amount of pieces. We're going to rotate that, or you get one after supper for the next couple of weeks. You know, kids, they'll go full bore if you let them and have an interest in that. So it's kind of having those discussions before you go out trick-or-treating. What's the expectation when you get back? We're going to check all the candy first. You don't get to dive right in. And it's making healthy choices, too.
You ever have anybody get sick from eating excess Halloween candy?
If you haven't, then you probably have rules about how much you can have.
Smuggle it into their room. The candy keeps showing up 2 weeks later. You know, where is this coming from? I'll tell you. It's been I'll tell you, Halloween is a fun time coming out from out east, Salem and the Salem witches. And I was scared by that stuff. It kind of like creepy and, you know, but when you look at celebrating Halloween and the movies, when I was growing up, we didn't have the blood and gore. It was really more implied. Now you slice and dice and this and that, and the slashing films, and I don't know about that. It doesn't appeal to me. I'd rather have a good thriller and not just be overwhelmed with just the special effects. But that seems to have changed with Halloween and Jason and the slashing stuff. So, you know, give me a good Wolfman, you know, or the Mummy, or, you know, Frankenstein and something like that. But I used to love Bela Lugosi. I used to love Boris Karloff. And I'm talking to my folks out there that are in my age group, because I see you guys giving me blank looks.
Like who?
Vincent Price, come on, The Fly. You know, House on the Haunted Hill. Those were good, scary things, you know. But now I really don't. I turn away from a lot of the sensationalism you're seeing and trying to make the movies a little more exciting. Do you ladies have a scary movie or anything that you remember growing up that you just, to this day, you still kind of think about? Christy?
I do. I'm not still scared of this movie, but I definitely remember being scared of it the first time I watched it. And I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. And we were watching Harry and the Hendersons. And I thought the Sasquatch, like Harry, was just so scary. And I have this memory of watching this movie, laying on my grandparents' floor, and my uncle was laying in front of me. I don't know. And I would hide behind him when I thought anything was scary. And so now I know it's really not a scary movie, right? But it was a little suspenseful and, you know, had some, you know, kind of dark to it and stuff. So, you know, for me, that is a good example of something that wasn't necessarily supposed to be scary, but it definitely was.
Brenda?
Mine was The Wizard of Oz.
Ooh.
And the whole flying monkey scene. And to this day, when I know that part is coming, I kind of tip out and go into the kitchen to find something.
Come here, my pretty.
I am an adult, but my blood pressure raises when that scene is coming. I just think it's weird.
Oh, come on, Brenda. You know Toto's going to save the day. It's going to be all right. It's going to be good. But, you know, you're going back, and it what triggers it with you, what you see, what you look at. I'm still getting over clowns being scary. I never thought that, but I get it. You know, you can't see what they really are or who they really are or what's going on behind them. So anybody going out as a clown this year? Be interesting. Well, listen, we're coming up on the end of our show, and every week we end our show with a joke. Humor is medicine for the soul. Okay, so here's our joke for the week. If one door opens and another one closes, your house is haunted. Okay, that's the joke for the week. So, you know, I just want to thank everybody for being with us today. Brenda, Christie, our listening audience. Shout outs to the Kind World Foundation. Check out our hiring opportunities at Boys and Girls Home and Family Services on our website. Join us next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for When Things Aren't Going Well, right here in 1360-949 KSCJ. And our topic will be Trick or Treat Safety. Your homework this week is to go out and have a good laugh. May the sun shine on you. Peace.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org. Or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you.